Hello, you're listening to WGXC Accra, Hudson, Catskill, 90.7 FM.
Do you enjoy the arts, have an interest in art classes and meeting your local creative community? Then join us at the Athens Cultural Center on the first Friday of each month from 5 to 7 p.m. View our latest exhibition over free nibbles and drinks hosted by our ACC board members and get to know us. We are at 24 2nd Street in Athens and online at athensculturalcenter.org. We look forward to meeting you.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Upstate Films, where membership provides access to world-class cinema, first-run feature films, art house films, live music, and more. Plus, advance notice of close-up conversations with directors and actors and other special events at the Star Theater in Rhinebeck, the Orpheum in Socrates, and traveling around the Hudson Valley. Information at upstatefilms.org/support. That's upstatefilms.org.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Jeff Economy in Kingston, New York. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast, May the 29th, 2024. I'm Mike Clifford. At times Tuesday, it was difficult to tell whether former President Donald Trump or his former ally Michael Cohen was on trial. That's the take from NBC News. They report a largely stoic Trump nearly faded into the background as lawyers for the prosecution and defense laid out their summations. Jurors were treated to dueling portraits of Cohen, the star witness at the trial, and the relative significance of both his history of lies and the testimony provided in the case. The judge, Juan Merchan, kept the court in session until 7:57 Tuesday night in order to inch closer to the point at which Trump's fate is handed to the jury. That's expected to happen today. And groups fighting hunger in Indiana say they're deeply concerned about proposed cuts to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP. Our Joey Lurie reports.
Republicans in Congress have advanced a long-anticipated farm bill through the U.S. House Agriculture Committee, despite Democratic opposition to the cuts it contains. Keir Kreitz-Muller is president and CEO of Food Finders Food Bank in Lafayette. She says food insecurity is on the rise in Indiana and is already at its highest since 2014.
The farm bill plays a pivotal role in addressing food insecurity, yet policy changes proposed by the bill make harmful cuts to crucial federal nutrition programs that help millions of people access the food they need to thrive.
The $1.5 trillion legislation sets policy and funding for key food, agriculture, and conservation programs for the next 5 years.
SNAP benefits are based on the cost of budget-conscious groceries for a family of four, or what's known as the Thrifty Food Plan. It's not immediately clear when the farm bill will be brought before the full House for debate. And the New Hampshire Senate has advanced a series of bills which opponents say will roll back protections for LGBTQ+ people. We get the details from Catherine Carley.
The measures ban transgender girls from playing sports in middle and high school, ban transgender people from using bathrooms that align with their gender, and ban gender-affirming surgeries for patients under 18. Sarah Robinson, an organizer with Granite State Progress, calls the bills discriminatory and cruel.
LGBTQ+ people and those who know and love them are urging a swift veto to these mean-spirited bills that are based in misinformation. When we say live free or die, we mean everyone.
Supporters say the bills are needed committed to ensure safety and fairness in both sports and public spaces and protect young people from making decisions they may regret. Governor Chris Sununu has said he shares those concerns but has not indicated whether he'll sign the bills.
More than 200 businesses recently signed on to a letter to Governor Sununu warning him that bills targeting transgender youth are tarnishing the state's reputation. This is Public News Service. And a new World Wildlife Fund survey shows since 1970, more than 80% of the global populations of freshwater migratory fish have declined, and significantly.
The report calls development in its Living Planet Index distressing and false habitat loss and degradation. It says factors like river fragmentation due to dams and agricultural encroachment account for half of the threats. The Shell team monitors freshwater species for the World Wildlife Fund and says though the trend is heading downward, there are efforts underway to save these species.
On average, we've seen freshwater migratory fish populations in North America decline by 34% since 1970. This is a little bit lower than what we're seeing globally, but it's still not a good number.
The index follows more than 1,800 populations of 284 native migratory freshwater fish species from around the world. Team says these fish often make the difference in food security and nutrition for vulnerable communities while supporting the livelihoods of millions of local and recreational fishing industries and global trade. Mark Richardson reporting.
And with the Port of Baltimore nearing a return to full commercial operations, advocates are renewing their call for an executive order to address maritime shipping emissions.
Last year, 45 environmental groups sent a letter calling on the Biden administration to decarbonize the maritime shipping sector. Included among their recommendations was eliminating in-port ship emissions by 2030, with one approach to connect ships to shore power while docked. Antonio Santos with the nonprofit Pacific Environment says reducing emissions is not just about climate change.
As you're reducing emissions, you're also protecting those directly impacted. And when we talk about where these ships tend to congregate, it is port workers and those frontline communities, those port adjacent communities that are directly affected.
Brett Pivato reporting.
Finally, Eric Tegadoff lets us know workers at an Oregon hospital are celebrating their recent vote in favor of unionizing.
More than 260 Legacy Mount Hood healthcare workers voted to join SEIU Local 49. The union represents other legacy healthcare workers in the Portland area, including at Emmanuel, Randall Children's, and Good Samaritan Hospitals. Kathy Mitchell is a certified health technician at Legacy Mount Hood.
We wanted to form a union, stand up for our fair pay and respect. And not only that, my idea is I'm going to retire in 5 years, and I want this for future generations and future employees.
Next, the union will determine its priorities for bargaining and begin negotiations on its first contract. SEIU Local 49 represents about 15,000 workers in Oregon and Southwest Washington. This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Hear us on interesting radio stations on your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, May 29th. Local early morning temperatures range from 49 degrees in Tannersville to 56 in Copake. Regional average soil temperature is 62 degrees. Pollen levels for today will be high. Hopefully, those levels take a hit this afternoon when rain rolls on through, likely between 2 and 8 p.m. We get a high temperature of 71 degrees that will linger most of the afternoon. Overnight, light chances of rain, and we see a low of 53. If you're camping, make sure you got that rain fly. Tomorrow, rain chances vacate by noon, and we see a high of 73 at 4 p.m. Overnight, we'll be dry. Temperatures dip to 48 degrees. Friday, will be sunny, comfortable, high of 74 at 4 p.m. Weekend is also looking nice, sunny, both days with highs near 80 and comfortable sleeping lows in the 50s. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 1:53 a.m., then high tide at 7:55 a.m., low tide again at 2:54 p.m., then high tide once again at 8:48 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 76 degrees, and the tide strength will be average. Sunset today will be at 8:08 p.m., sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:19 a.m. Looking way up, we see X-class flare chances are up again 30% for today. Plasma winds will be slow at 335 kilometers per second with an average density of 5 protons per cubic centimeter. So far, it appears we do not have any Hadouken on the way. Radio propagation conditions are currently bad till dark, then fair below 15 megahertz overnight. There are no chances for aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 141. And this has been the Better Weather for Wednesday, May 29th, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Wow! What a graduation!
I'll say!
But with college behind us, we'll need careers. And good ones.
What about chestnut roasting? People always need chestnuts.
Or begging! I know a place that'll saw your legs off.
Slow down, fellas. I've got a way we can keep our legs and still have a bright future.
Now you're dreaming.
Oh, am I?
Of course! Nuclear power!
It's the job of tomorrow. Today!
Really?
Well, that settles it. For all those reasons and more, let us choose an electrifying career in nuclear power.
There's a lot of spiders in here.
Go. Gooch!
Oh, sorry.
So the past, the present.
The dusty.
No day. Shelly.
Maybe every so often.
It's a dark.
For a killer line. Straight. I think you will
take this.
We pretty hard world. Oh, I'm out.
They're like pictures.
But playback.
There are more players.
Well, there are lots of tunes. Very
me.
And we're about to take.
Oh.
The achievers.
Isn't that great?
Or joy.
Of a stick.
Apparently,
smoke.
That is why I
can roll that
really fresh deck.
No,
no, no,
no,
no,
for more subdued drum tone. His grandfather.
Agatha.
Hi, everybody.
Hot food.
I can.
You will know it is time.
Thank you.
people.
Oh.
all I can think about all day is getting home to my computer.
That was After Mud Guts from the Baltimore-based band Matmos, 2023 track there.
Hi, this is Rodney Greenblatt from Catskill, and you're listening to WGXC, ACRA, 90.7 FM.
La despensa de alimentos de Catskill está localizada en la parroquia de la Iglesia de St. Luke en Catskill, en la calle William, número 50. La despensa está abierta todos los viernes de la 1 hasta las 4 de la tarde. La comida sana es un derecho. Para más información, bienvenidos a todos a venir, llamar por teléfono a 551-299-2456, mirar la página web catskillfoodpantry.org o conectar con nosotros en Facebook. And Catskill Food Pantry.
New Yorkers are uneasy about Central Hudson Gas and Electric getting a rate increase. It comes amid a Public Service Commission investigation into long-standing overbilling practices and glitches in a new billing system. PSC reports show this had catastrophic consequences for customers. Rosemary DeCruz with Communities for Local Power says community members overwhelmingly oppose the rate hike.
Public hearings were full of stories of community members who experienced overbilling, confusing bills, multiple bills a day. I myself was once issued over 20 bills in one day in like adjustments that I had no clue how to decipher. And the reports of billing errors are still continuing.
Residents feel Central Hudson shouldn't get a rate increase until the company provides accurate bills. A December 2022 report shows Central Hudson employees notified company leaders about avoidable billing system transition issues. However, the report concludes negligent and reckless action by decision makers led to disaster for many customers. Statewide energy bills are only growing this year, reaching their highest rates this month. Many utility companies are seeking rate increases as energy supply prices and inflation go up. DeCruz feels the funds Central Hudson is looking for aren't for things the company needs.
They were arguing for a climate resiliency surcharge, arguing that all the work that they have to do to comply with the climate laws is something that they need money for, which shouldn't be the case when they should actually be saving money by transitioning to electricity.
Several bills are designed to reduce ratepayer costs for climate change adaptation. Both the Climate Change Superfund and New York Heat Acts shift much of the financial burden to utility companies and large-scale polluters. Both bills pass the Senate and await further action by the Assembly. This is Edwin J. Vieira for New York News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Music or noise. 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 Music. 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 Music or noise.
Thank you.
Music or noise? Music or noise?
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Hundreds gathered at the state capitol on Wednesday in support of the Not on Our Dime Act, which would stop the flow of millions in tax-deductible funds from organizations registered as charities in New York to violent settlers in the West Bank and Israeli military units devastating Gaza. Over $60 million yearly has gone for nonprofits registered in New York to violent Israeli settler organizations. We hear from the main sponsor of the bill, Assemblymember Zoran Mamdani, who serves as the MC, followed by Senator Jabari Brisport, and then Haber Kawas of the United States Campaign for Palestinian Rights. We finish with Assemblymember Sarahana Shrestha.
Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine! Free.
My name is Assemblymember Zohran Mamdani, and I am the prime sponsor of this legislation in the New York State Assembly. So like many of you, I saw the horrific images that came out of Rafah this past weekend. My heart broke as I saw a man hold up a child that was beheaded by the Israeli military's bombing of a tent city of Palestinian refugees. My heart broke as I saw bodies burned to a crisp, taking refuge in the place that the Israeli military had designated as a safe zone. And I asked myself, what does this have to do with us in New York? And the answer is everything. Do not, because in this moment, New York state law allows for New Yorkers to get a tax deduction if they donate to the very kind of Israeli military units that dropped those bombs on innocent Palestinians. Today, we gather here to demand the bare minimum, which is to end tax breaks for genocide. We demand this. New Yorkers who showcase that the call for Palestinian human rights is not just a moral call, it is a popular call. From more than 70 assembly districts, New Yorkers from more than 40 Senate districts, from more than 25 counties across the state of New York. And we gather here in the halls of power of a Democratic supermajority amidst a genocide, saying that now is the time for us to reflect public sentiment in our substance and in our legislation. Because too often this call is framed as a symbolic call. We cannot call this symbolic when New York state law has allowed New York charities to send more than $60 million a year to Israeli settler organizations. Money that has only escalated and intensified in its scale in these last few months. An amount of money that we are seeing flow through charities fundraising for pistol-to-rifle converters for settlers, for drones. And even the smallest steps that the White House has taken of accountability in making an executive order saying that far-right settlers should be the targets of a ban from this country, those same settlers are on videos thanking New York State charities for sending them drones. We're here today to announce that now is the time and to announce that we will not allow this to take place any longer. So join me in saying, not on our dime.
Not on our dime.
Sponsor of this legislation in the New York State Senate from Brooklyn, State Senator Jabari Brisport.
Gaza, Gaza, don't you cry.
Gaza, Gaza, don't you cry.
We will never let you die. We chant that housing is a human right. But in the West Bank, in Gaza, it is a right that has been denied violently, funded at the federal level by U.S. foreign policy that gives billions in military aid to Israel. It has been funded at the state level through state policy that gives tax-exempt status to these fake charities that take money for the needy and use it to fund guns, drones, military equipment, and the violent displacement of Palestinian people from their homes. There is something so dark and despicable about taking money that is supposed to go to the elderly, to the sick, to the poor, and using it to harm and shoot at those very same people. We say not on our dime. And to our colleagues who are not yet with us, it is scary to speak up against organized money and power, but this is the movement behind you. It was scary for people to speak out against slavery. It was scary for people to speak out against segregation. It was scary for people to speak out against the Vietnam War. It was scary for people to speak out against apartheid in South Africa. But history will remember that you came to the right side. Me, not another nickel.
Not another nickel.
Not another dime.
Not another dime.
No more money.
No more money.
For Israel's crimes.
And I am so thankful that we have here with us a representative from the U.S. Campaign for Palestinian Rights, none other than Avir Kawas.
I'm a Palestinian American New Yorker, also from Brooklyn, and I'm a member of the U.S. Campaign for Palestinian Rights, an organization dedicated to ending military funding to apartheid Israel and investing those funds into community. And I want to actually start by firstly acknowledging my mother behind me, who's a displaced Palestinian refugee who survived the Nakba in 1967, standing right here today. Truly exciting and emotional as it is to be here in this momentous time with you all, my remarks come to you today amidst the news of multiple horrific massacres carried out by the Israeli army against Palestinian civilians huddling in tents on the Rafah border of Gaza. And this is just the last in the wave of horrific images that we have seen over the last 7 months. When atrocities like this happen, my community and I watch from screens, and we feel enraged to know that our state, my state, the state that I've called home my entire life, allows organizations based here to call themselves charitable, to get tax breaks as they send money to Israeli settler organizations and to the Israeli military. Every moment, New York gives tax breaks, incentives to support the very apparatus of horror that we are witnessing. When you see protests on the streets, student encampments, high school walkouts, you are seeing masses of people who are committed to justice, who are reacting as they should in the face of tragedy. It is a fight for our people. It is a fight for life. Yes. Bill is a historic move for the New York State to lead the charge nationwide to end tax breaks for genocide and to strive towards addressing justice. We call on our New York legislators to do the right thing and stop the flow of money coming from this state to aid and abet human rights violations, massacres, displacement, genocide, and atrocity.
Going to hear from a champion of this legislation. This is the first state legislator outside of New York City to call for a ceasefire and to call for the end of the occupation. Join me in welcoming Assemblywoman Sarah Hanna Shrestha.
We are here today because American taxpayers are subsidizing Israeli settler violence through New York State registered charities. We're also funding the dismantling of our own democracy through many of these same charities. This money has been used not just to aid illegal Israeli settler violence, but also to spy on and dox American professors and students, to interfere in a presidential election on behalf of none other than Donald Trump, and to create a troll farm to harass anyone in the U.S. who is critical of Israel. New York must stand for democracy, for human rights, and for common decency. That is the work we are here to do. It's affordable housing, whether it's universal health care, whether it's immigrant rights. not on our dime, belongs in the state legislature just like any other bill that seeks to make good change in our state. To be a day one co-sponsor of this bill, because it is a no-brainer that we should not be using New York tax money to fund violence on anyone.
This has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine. On Tuesday, May 28th, Jill Stein, the presumptive nominee for president for the Green Party, turned in her signatures to get on the ballot for New York. She held a press conference at the state capitol. We hear from Dr. Stein, Gloria Matara, who is the co-chair of the state party, and two of the campaign volunteers.
We turn in the signatures to get our campaign on the ballot in the presidential race. And we're here basically to declare victory for grassroots democracy against an extremely oppressive and anti-democratic system that has gone to great lengths to basically shut down democratic competition in this state. We are turning in some 53 volumes at this point, and there is more that is being sent from our central office in New York City. The system is so oppressive that it makes it impossible to even know what your petition count is in real time. So as these signatures continue to come in, we continue to compile them. But because the system is so onerous, it's not actually possible to give a specific count. But at this point, we know that we are turning in some 53 volumes, which more than meets the requirements for 13 congressional districts, which each require at least 500 signatures. We, in most of these districts, we are doubling the required signatures in terms of numbers, and we have more than the required 13 districts. So that much we know, and we can declare victory on that account. We're also declaring victory simply in that there is a massive grassroots mobilization. This campaign, the ballot campaign, was really driven by volunteers, by grassroots volunteers, some of whom are here today. We're extremely grateful to them. They not being part of the duopoly, the political machine here, we are not grandfathered in like they are. Those candidates merely need to have their secure the nominations of those parties. If you are a grassroots candidate, you must not only get the nomination, but then you have to collect essentially a million signatures across the country. And among various states, New York is arguably the most onerous burden, and this was done in a way which was also extremely anti-democratic. In the COVID emergency budget, I believe, of 2021, this change in election law was inserted largely unknown to the public, undisclosed, undebated. New Yorkers essentially had their choice, their right to choose a candidate that represents them was taken away from them. And that is the system that we have been fighting against and that our volunteers have turned out to fight against. Also, in this race, there's one campaign outside of the duopoly which had enormous funding, including from a billionaire vice presidential candidate and from a super PAC funded by a handful of billionaires. That's obviously RFK's campaign, who was able to sweep in early and basically buy up the professional petitioners that grassroots campaigns rely on some degree of professional petition support. And in this case, that was largely unavailable to us, although we have some, but it's very limited. So we had to really mobilize the grassroots, and the grassroots essentially mobilized themselves, especially in recent weeks. So we are extremely grateful to the grassroots, who is demanding that there be an anti-genocide, anti-war, pro-worker, climate emergency choice on the ballot. And we know from the Democratic primary held a little over a month ago here in this state, we know that the bottom has dropped out of the Democratic Party. We know from poll after poll that Americans, including New Yorkers, are really desperate and hungry for other choices. So it makes it especially shameful that the state of New York has basically cut off alternative choices that either are not part of the duopoly or not part of the billionaire scheme of political funding. That's what's being cut off here, and we are determined to get on the ballot. And if there are obstructions to getting on the ballot, we are determined that we will continue to fight that in court if need be. Let me, at this point, turn this over to Gloria Matera, who is the chair of the Green Party of New York, to say a few words, and then we'll hear just a couple words from two of our volunteers who were part of this massive mobilization.
Thank you. Thank you, Jill. Gloria Matera, chair of the Green Party of New York, and we want to say that our campaign, our party, joined with the campaign, hundreds of volunteers around New York State to mount what I would consider a historic ballot access drive. We have had our ballot line for 12 years, running candidates up and down the state. And at one point, Andrew Cuomo decided that he wanted some vengeance on small independent parties. He inserted that law in the emergency 2021 COVID budget, and the Democratic, most of the Democratic majority-led legislature quietly went along with that. And so New Yorkers have lost their voice to have an anti-war candidate, a candidate who talks about the climate emergency, a candidate that is pro-worker. And we are honored to partner with Dr. Stein and her campaign to do this. We believe that we are going to achieve this. When we heard about our ballot line being stolen because of this law, we did not shrink away. We basically said we accept that challenge because we have always been driven by volunteers and by people who really need housing, health care, free higher education, and climate mitigation to deal with the terrible climate crisis that we are dealing with right now. So we want to introduce our volunteers. Say
yes.
A few words.
Yes. So I present the spectrum of very diverse political backgrounds who were mobilized to really go all in on this campaign in a very exciting way. So Crystal Sheridan will say a few words about how she came to be a part of this.
Hey, I'm Crystal, and I'm from Queens, New York. I got into the Green Party actually very recently. I grew up in a conservative household, and being in theater arts and performing, I had more liberal views and became a Democrat in my adult life. And then when October 7th happened, I was very confused by what our leadership was doing, and the more I learned about the history of Palestine, I realized, oh, our government leaders are being bought by corporations, including the military-industrial complex, and I'm done with Democrats, I'm done with Republicans. And I heard Jill speak at the January 13th rally for a free Palestine, and I thought, this is a party I can get behind, this is a leader that I can follow. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Crystal. And Jacob Steffi is also part of this newly mobilized uprising.
So I come from a working class background, and I came from Kansas to petition, answered the call to duty. I'm a veteran as well, and I'm somebody who's for everything the Green Party's for. And I have been a radical for a long time in terms of wanting to get to the root problem of problems of this world. And the United States really sits at a seat of power that affects everybody else very much, and I feel that it's important for the rest of the world if the United States makes big changes, and I think that Jill is the leader for that.
Thank you so much. And then I just want to wrap up by, again, thanking our volunteers who really empowered this drive. And just by way of connecting the dots between the foreign policy and the struggles of Americans here, it's widely known and I think increasingly an issue for ordinary Americans that the average household this year, this is according to Jeffrey Sachs at the economics department at the University at Columbia University, the average household is now paying $12,000 this year alone for the cost of the endless war machine. And that is a symbol. You know, half of our congressional budget is being spent on the endless war machine, which is making us less safe, not more safe. And the price that we pay for that is that we do not have, for tens of millions of Americans, we do not have the health care, the jobs, the housing, you know, freedom from student and medical debt, and so on. People really see the walls closing in on them personally and are very much mobilizing now to insist that we have other choices on the ballot and that we bring new leadership into our government so that we can, in fact, have a democracy of by and for the people, not of by and for the corporations.
In addition to Dr. Jill Stein filing on behalf of the Green Party, other independent candidates filing for president in New York include Robert F. Kennedy, We the People, Chase Oliver, the Libertarian Party, Cornel West of Justice for All, and Dr. Shiva Auditore of the Dr. Shiva Party. We'll try to get all of them on sometime in the future. This has been Mark Dunley with the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Here is a song from 2023 from Matmos from their Return to Archive record. It's they're exploring the Folkways archive. Here is Why.